Thumbtack presents the ins and outs of caring for your home. Out. Uncertainty. Self-doubt. Stressing about not knowing where to start. In. Plans and guides that make it easy to get home projects done. Out. Word art. Sorry, live, laugh, lovers. In. Knowing what to do, when to do it, and who to hire. Start caring for your home with confidence. Download Thumbtack today. If you don't know about flyer deals on Instacart, this message is for you. Flyer deals are like strolling through your favorite store looking for deals, but you're scrolling your phone and maybe you're in bed because getting delivery doesn't mean you have to miss deals like you'd get at the store, like the one creamer that doesn't make your stomach hurt or the pasta sauce you can't not buy when it's on sale. So download the Instacart app, shop flyers, and never miss a deal on one of your favorites. Plus, get delivery in as fast as 30 minutes.
Let's BOGO. The Hoppin' Good Sale at Designer Shoe Warehouse is on. Buy any pair of shoes in-store or online. Get a second qualifying pair 50% off. Yep, must-have sandals, sneakers, and more from brands you love are buy one, get one 50% off at DSW. But only for a limited time, so hop to it. Fill your basket and score BOGO 50% off at your DSW store or DSW.com.
Waiting for the best deals? Spring Black Friday savings are here. Shop early access now at Blinds.com and save big on new custom window treatments. At Blinds.com, shopping online for custom window treatments doesn't mean sacrificing on service, selection, or style. As the number one online retailer of custom window treatments, Blinds.com has hundreds of options to fit any decor and budget. Choose from stylish roller or bamboo shades, blackout options, and more. We even have motorized shades for your patio. DIY, or let our experts handle the heavy lifting. Blinds.com has you covered with free virtual consultations. We'll even send a pro to do the measure and install. Try before you buy with free samples delivered to your door. With over 25 million windows covered, every order is backed with Blinds.com's 100% satisfaction guarantee. Shop Blinds.com's Spring Black Friday Early Access now for up to 40% off with minimum purchase, plus a free measure. Save up to 40% at Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Spiegel and Holmes, afternoons on the Score.
Your guys' show starting is the beginning of a new era.
So glad you guys are able to team up together for the afternoon show.
All right, well, we navigated that pretty well. I was worried, but I'm always worried. Yeah, that's my bit.
My bit is good vibes.
I think those are good vibes, babe.
Who would dare interrupt me during my midday bath? Yeah. Oh, that's the Spiegel and Holmes show.
I might swerve in that corner.
Whoa, 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 whoa.
See Matt Spiegel over there.
We love the Coach Spiegs.
Are you noticing that?
Well, I will tell you, Spiegs, if you've noticed it, I've noticed it.
Lawrence Holmes, put a star on it.
I have the driver in my bag. Today's a day for the driver.
Now watch this drive. Nice one, Lawrence.
How will we handle?
Greg Council joining us.
All right, that was fun.
Nico Horner.
It's good to be back. It's been a while.
Yeah, it has.
Missed your voice.
Oh, that's nice.
See,
you were supposed to follow that up with
Mr. Musk.
Picked off by Jalen Johnson.
Jalen, this is Lawrence Holmes. Jalen, are you muted?
He's muted.
Bringing your rookiness to me, Lawrence.
That's on me, man. That's on me.
Forget about it, cut.
Bob Costas.
Matt, thank you very much. And Lawrence, stop dominating the conversation the way you have over the last several minutes, really.
Joe Buck.
This is a one-way relationship. I don't think I've ever asked anything about. I think the last time I was in this imbalanced of a relationship,
yeah,
I married her.
Hey, man.
I don't care who they put on. Joe Buck's on, I turn the sound down.
Holy Chicago.
Everything's fine. Everything's fine. Lawrence, everything's fine. Matt, everything's fine. Shane, Tanny, everything's fine.
It's like doing radio, right? You're only as good as your teammates. So, you know, Tanny comes in and he's a magician with his sound. And then you guys come on and Shane books us and your guys' team is great there. That's why your show is good. Football's like that, too. You can't be good by yourself.
What I mean, goosebumps. Hell? Let's kick off this show with a bang.
I mean, let's go.
Welcome, welcome, welcome. It is the Spiegel and Holmes show. We got you until 6 o'clock. Tanny is here. Shane is here. That man is Matt Spiegel.
Hello.
And I'm Lawrence Holmes. We got you until 6 o'clock. The Cubs lose what was a really weird game that they played. They got dominated from a hitting standpoint, and it felt like the game was within their reach of like grabbing it, taking hold of it, and then the fifth inning happened.
Yeah, fifth inning was ugly, that's for sure. But it was weird. It was one of those days where Shota Imanaga gave up a bunch of hard contact and a lot of fly balls, and a few of them left the yard. He's been, you know, it's funny, we talked about it yesterday with Matthew Boyd in that interview yesterday about how Imanaga and Boyd are both like fly ball pitchers, and Wrigley actually has been playing pretty well for fly ball pitchers. Not so much for Shota today. And like, I mean, Corey Seager and Marcus Semien have been awful to start the year. Corey Seager woke up today. He's just way too good to have been as bad as he has been. So that dude can rake, and today he began doing it again.
When I'm watching the at-bat with Jonah Heim, I'm sitting there like just in my chair at the crib and just being like, Shota. After he fouls that ball off, I'm like, Shota, don't go back in there. Like I'm like someone at a scary movie. Don't go in there. And he went back in there, and Jonah Heim was like, "Watch this."
Yeah, and he's like been one of the only Rangers who's been hitting. Their offense has been brutal, but so he kept going, and then you get Seager, and they got Josh Young back. He hit a bullet to center field today. He just came back last night. That's a good team. Those are two good teams. I went over there, Lawrence, had to go over and meet somebody, so I ended up doing Clubhouse and hanging out over there, and the buzz, it was a weird day, because the main thing was, everybody, are we going to play? Are they going to play today? Are we going to play today?
Yeah, the weather forecast was all jacked up, and it looked like we were planning for like a full show today.
Either a full show or no show, because it was going to be like, either they cancel the game, or they start it and just do whatever they have to do to get it in because it's the last trip in for Texas, you know? So, like, everybody at the ballpark is like, are they playing? What do you think? Are they playing? I don't know.
Well, it was snowing in Hyde Park this morning, and I'm like, huh. But I was talking to Porthing. He's like, well, downtown everything's fine. I'm like, you know, we get a little bit of that in Hyde Park where occasionally that's where the weather line ends up breaking. But once they got going, I was like, you had said it and someone else has said it looks like they're getting ready to play. I was like, they're playing. And they, credit to baseball operations of the Cubs, because these were 3 days where you could very easily and justifiably be like, nah, let's not do it. Let's not go out there on the night when there's 40 mile per hour wind gust and it feels like 20 degrees, or let's not play in the cold. Or, hey, there's a forecast that there's going to be hail and snow and all that stuff. We could just bang the game and get on to Los Angeles and send Texas on their way.
Yeah.
But no, they got through it. And that means that your organization was on top of what it really was like outside.
There is some concern that the cold weather may have contributed to the injury to one of your best pitchers, one of your most important pitchers. That was the other buzz around the ballpark today, was that I wonder how much the cold and going seven innings in the cold the other night led to Justin Steele's issue.
So why don't we hear from Cubs manager Craig Counsell on that specifically?
I think the cold, you know, absolutely contributes to that, and is, yeah, you can't tell really sometimes.
This was something you went on the IL with in September. Just how would you describe, if any, the level of concern that it popped up?
Yeah, I mean, I think that's, like I said, that's why we're being conservative here. So, you know, the concern, we just got to get him symptom-free and then back on the mound. But I think the fact that there was an injury last year and we have symptoms of that injury again makes you want to be conservative.
See, that's part of the reason why I didn't want guys playing Monday night, is that you worry about – I'm less worried about arms, to be honest, but I am worried about guys pulling muscles, that sort of thing. So it is a little scary when you hear a manager concede that the cold may have played a role in one of their best pitchers getting hurt.
Yeah, I don't know enough about pitching physiology to tell you that throwing in the cold led to that. But, you know, everybody was talking about it, and I would press people and be like, well, how? And they'd be like, oh, I don't know. It just feels it's uncomfortable.
The biomechanical aspect of it, probably, like, for example, how many guys say how easy it is to get warm when the weather's warm?
Right, so heat down, cool up.
heat up, cool down. Like you sit down between innings and it's so cold and it gets tight again. So yeah, maybe you're right. Maybe it's as simple as that. Because everybody's kind of pointing to it, but even counsel right there in the cut is like, you don't know sometimes. But we know this much, that Justin Steele mentioned the words sore and tight about how the elbow felt, and that's a little scary. And he said that he's hoping for a minimum stay on the injured list. Counsel said that too, but people at the ballpark were doubtful that that was going to be the case, that it would be a little bit longer than just the minimal stay is the initial guess. And that means Colin Ray, who was going to be your long guy, is your fifth starter. And it means Ben Brown, who's scuffled a couple of times, will stay in that rotation. And Javier Assad, who still has to like make a rehab assignment, is not yet ready to be in the mix. So they called up a reliever, Ethan Roberts. Expect Colin Ray to be your TBD on Sunday.
I know that you were there and you heard it, but for Cubs, the Cub fan that's getting their car from Wrigley and wanted to hear from Justin Steele, here's what he said about the injury and about the cold.
I was going through my start the other day. I was, I was talking to Tommy and Counts throughout the start and stuff. I was like, you know, arms starting to tighten up on me a little bit. I was at the fourth, fifth inning. Was just doing stuff in between innings to keep it warm, moving around and stuff. Told him the next day, you know, the trainers and stuff, I want to come in, do a lot of recovery stuff, you know, red light, do everything I can to get the recovery process underway. They asked how it was doing. I was like, it's, you know, kind of sore, kind of tight. And then, they just made the decision to go ahead and put me on the IL.
Just as similar to late last year?
Yeah, or, I would say it's similar feeling.
And did that kind of give you sort of a roadmap of how you can take the time and how quick you can get back? Because you did come back late last year on that.
Yeah, I would say it's similar to, you know, the previous situations that we encountered with it.
Did they give you an MRI yesterday?
No.
Will they
come out? I believe that is the plan.
You've talked so much about wanting to be out there for 30-plus starts. Mm-hmm. Just like, what's the emotional reaction?
I mean, frustration. Just frustration.
Do you have any idea, as far as, are you optimistic about this being a minimum stay or anything like that?
I would say I'm leaning that way. It was, I was... You know, coming in yesterday prepared to kind of go about the, you know, normal rotation, normal standard in-between start stuff. And, now we'll, I guess, just be able to figure out exactly what it is and attack it. And,
When you said you felt it during your start at that point, did you feel like it was anything serious?
No, I was, wanting to continue pitch. Felt good. Felt like I was executing pitches and stuff, so I wanted to, keep going.
You've had to deal with a lot of different adversity throughout your career. Where do you go to, mentally to, get through that? How do you toughen?
Just take it a day at a time. I've dealt with a lot of injuries, unfortunately, with my career, and that was kind of something I've always defaulted to, is just taking it a day at a time.
So you were feeling it, and then the next day, like yesterday, you were hoping you'd be okay, and it just didn't subside?
Yeah, it was just, I would say, normal tightness, soreness from pitching and stuff, and
Were you tempted to not take this IL stint and push through it and try to make your next start?
I was coming in to the day prepared to make my next start and stuff, but they made the decision to put me on the IL.
Have you tested it playing catch or anything like that yet?
No.
Just what do you think about the kind of the depth of this group that you guys have to kind of, whether it's you or somebody else, to kind of weather this type of situation?
Yeah, I think we definitely have the depth in place to take care of situations like this. We've proven that in the past.
It's impossible to even conjure up possibilities here, but, having a pitch in cold weather, do you think that was a contributing factor?
I would definitely say so. Just velocity speaking, I would say Valdi's velo was a little bit down. I'd say everybody's velo was a little bit down that day. Just in general over this series, it's been that way just with the weather and stuff.
Man, so the velo being down in the cold, and he again says definitely the cold did affect it.
I'm not surprised by that. I'm not willing to say that that's what it is yet, because the velo being down could just be what's been going on with his arm. You know what I mean? Like, he could then be like, oh, well, it's because it was cold that's what's good. So I am a little concerned that there hasn't been an MRI and there is going to be one. But you're trying to figure out what the cause of it is, and you want to make sure that the cold is not – is the cold causal or not?
I don't know. Look, there's a couple other things to talk about with this game, but let me ask you this. What do what do sports people know less about? Scouting quarterbacks and predicting their future, or the health of the major league pitching arm?
Oh, the health of the major league pitching arm by a mile.
Well, I don't know if it's by a mile. People get quarterbacks wrong all the time, Lawrence.
They do, but
they get quarterback. But I'm just saying,
they
both
get
of
quarterback
those things
wrong though because they're desperate. Where with this thing, there's so many different factors that you have to put in.
All right. Well, the point is, like, he feels sore and tight after every time he throws. These guys always feel sore and tight, and then they'll wrap their entire arm in ice and ace bandages for 2 days. Then they'll be like, yep, I'm ready to go again. And now this time it's like, I'm not ready to go again. Okay, well, let's put you on a list until you're ready to go again. People out here guessing crazy on this stuff.
That's why I'm saying, like, I personally didn't like the idea of them playing. You know that. We talked about it. But I don't want that to now be confirmation bias. Like, I look at it and say, maybe that was a reason. But then when I hear him say, well, the velo was down, I don't know it being cold is causal to the velo being down.
I understood.
And that maybe he's pre-injured and he didn't know it until he started throwing. The other thing is when do you let a guy work through something versus when do you tell a guy, you come sit next to me? And I don't know what counsel's threshold is for that. And I wonder about that part of it too. There are people that are texting about that too. Like, if he said this is what was going on during the game, do you pull him because that's what's going on in the game and take into account that there are elements that may play a role in whether or not he's making it worse or better?
They were up big. They were up big in that game. It was 7-0 that game at one point, right?
Yep.
And he was out there for the seventh when, I mean, you could argue he didn't need to be, but he wanted to be. And it's nice to save your bullpen, et cetera. And I remember JD saying the other night during the game, like, this is one of those games where Steele could probably finish if he wanted to, because a lot of times pitchers love pitching in the cold. Like, they love it because hitters are overwhelmed and don't want to swing the bat and don't enjoy contact.
You can attack the zone, too, when the wind's blowing in at 40 miles an hour. Yeah. You know, you can leave a ball up. You know, because the wind's probably going to knock it down.
Yeah, the story of the TV broadcast today was Jack White of the White Stripes in the stands, and Boog talking about Jack White every time he could, and understandably so. And the couple eating the hot dog like they were in The Lady and the Tramp, with one from each side. Lawrence, did you see them, and have you ever eaten a hot dog like that with anybody in your life?
I did see them, and no, I've never done that with a glizzy.
And now, two pigeons who can't believe how good humans have it with DirecTV.
These humans are hopping from streaming apps to live sports without batting a wing.
All from the DirecTV home screen.
With just one click, you could be watching a baseball game, a movie on Netflix,
or a critically acclaimed documentary.
You watch documentaries?
I love the ones that leave you with a question.
What?
Exactly.
DirecTV, a better way to watch whatever you want to watch. Visit DirecTV.com.
Internet-connected Gemini device, separate Netflix membership, and additional paid subscriptions required for third-party apps. Restrictions apply. Nerds!
Today's episode is sponsored by Smart Travel, a new podcast from NerdWallet. Smart Travel doesn't just cover points and miles. They break down all the financial aspects of your trip, whether that's the best days to book, how to avoid hidden fees, or which fancy travel credit cards pay off, and which ones are just an expensive flex. If you want your travel budget to work harder, then dive into the best deals, products, services, and more with Smart Travel from NerdWallet, wherever you get your podcasts.
Like most car buyers, you want to get the most for your money. That's why more Mazda buyers choose Ramsey Mazda. Get impressive offers on a new Mazda CX-30 or Mazda CX-5 starting at just $29,276. Over 1,000 new Mazda vehicles to choose from. Visit RamseyMazda.com. Get the most for your money at Ramsey Mazda. Choose wisely. Choose Ramsey Mazda.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
All right, so these two have never met before, and now they're getting texts because look what they were up to. They knew they were on TV, and come over here.
Yeah, they're kind of going Lady and the Tramp on
yeah,
the hot dog.
Yeah, that's right. And then they find out that everybody's seen them on TV, and we're so funny, we're so clever. Hey, we're blowing up. Are they done with the hot dogs yet? You're stars. We love you.
There is a looseness about Boog this year. And JD.
Oh, you mean Wildfire? My guy Wildfire?
Why is he Wildfire?
So they were talking about some old player was nicknamed Wildfire.
Oh.
And Boog's like, would you please call me Wildfire? They just kept going. He's like, JD, if you call me Wildfire for every game between now and August, would it catch on?
By the way, breaking news on the score is brought to you by Wildfire. Oh, I didn't know if maybe Boog had gotten a deal in place. Join Wildfire Restaurants as they celebrate 30 years of serving delicious food and creating memories.
Oh, man. But it's... Yeah, they're having fun. They are really, really enjoying themselves, and Boog was really leaning into the hot dog couple, Lawrence.
So do we have the couple or do we only have Tristan?
We have the couple.
Okay.
But they're ask them if they're a couple.
Right. Like, okay. Hi guys, you're on the score.
Hi.
Howdy.
What are your names?
So I am Tristan, the woman in the video.
And I'm Robbie.
Tristan and Robbie.
And Robbie.
So you guys don't know each other at all?
No.
No. I'd had 3 hot dogs. She told me she had 4. And I was like, you know what? I can't eat another one. I could probably split one, though.
That's awesome, you guys bonding over dogs at the game.
Do you actually know each other? Was that a bit from Boog? Like, are you a couple? We all kind of basically assumed that you guys were in love, and this is just something you do time to time.
No, I haven't saved the world today. You can't see two strangers sharing a dog like Lady and the Tramp and assume that they're just not really good friends.
Yeah, I actually didn't know that this was going to go viral, so my boyfriend at home is going to be pretty upset about it.
Yeah.
I can imagine that would be the case, Tristan.
Yeah. Your faces were awfully close together. We didn't see it complete. Did you guys meet in the middle of the dog?
No, we kind of both gave up and then switched to popcorn.
Did you do it with the popcorn, too? Did we miss that?
You did miss us throwing the popcorn to each other.
Oh, so you did the whole thing where you're trying to catch the popcorn in your mouth type deal?
Yeah, have you ever been to Kobe?
Okay.
All right. So wait a minute. You guys are coworkers? Is that the situation here?
I'm not sure. I just met her today.
We found out we're both lawyers. So in a way, we're coworkers.
Counselor.
Okay. And you've bonded and flirted over the hot dog, and there are significant others who are not going to be pleased at this moment.
So we both abhor food waste. And I was like, you know, I've already had 3 hot dogs. She's already had 4. Like, it'd be a shame to waste the 5th one. So we're like, you know, we might as well just split it.
Robbie's got a date later this week. I've got a longstanding boyfriend. It was just friendly. Just a friendly hot dog split.
In a friendly confines.
So, counselor, what is your strategy in how you're going to explain this to the boyfriend?
That's a good question.
Well, the boyfriend was upset when I got last-minute tickets to the game. So he's already on the mend from this. So unless someone sends him the MLB Instagram post of me, Lady and the Tramping the Hot Dog, I don't know if we're ever going to mention this.
It's going to be mentioned, counselor.
You can't have secrets like this. This is, you got to lead with that.
You got to go home and say, hey, guess what happened at the game today?
Yes, babe. I want you to hear it from me before you see it in your Instagram feed.
And if anybody asks, my name is Abe Froman.
The Sausage King of Chicago, yes.
That's well played. All right, well, this is your moment. I mean, you need to call Vienna Beef. You need to call any hot dog-related business and see if you could maximize this and do a commercial immediately.
Oh, we are Vienna Beef through and through. There is no better hot dog in the confines of the city.
You know, my thing is, like, I love that St. Patrick's Day has the parade queen. I am actually ready to run for the title of Sausage King of Chicago.
Robbie's got some game here. He's got some comedic chops, I think. You know? I would vote for Robbie for Sausage King. So far.
I didn't know you'd do that. That's a stunning endorsement.
I didn't know that there was an election. Is there like a pageant or?
Our next call is Vienna Beef.
It's actually a pretty good idea. I mean, I bet they're going to get married.
I'm going to claim it now and then defend my crown next year.
I'm predicting it now. They're going to get married.
Speaks, why? She has a man. Why are you trying to break up a happy home?
This is such a good meet cute, right? This is like such a good meet cute for a rom-com.
So to speak. Get it?
An M-E-A-T cute. That's exactly right. All right. Thank you, Tristan. Thank you, Robbie.
Good luck, counselors.
Yep. Thank you. A Proman.
Yeah. My God. There they were. The viral heroes. Well, Cubs lost to Texas.
Gonna be a hero, for another hour,
right? Hell is coming to breakfast. Yeah, hell is coming to breakfast when she gets home. Or coming to the 7th inning. Hell is coming to an afternoon hot dog snack.
Yep,
that is. You know, I mean, that's like it.
You guys shouldn't get in trouble in Cook County anytime soon. Might be a bad day for you.
You ever been with somebody who said, like, oh, yeah, that's my husband, and then this guy here, he's my work husband, or he's my work wife, you know? Yeah, right, exactly. Hey. That's exactly right. I had that one time.
You did?
Didn't end well.
How'd it go?
Not good, thank you. Not good at all, as a matter of fact. Man.
I'm trying to figure out how to recover from this. And where we go.
It speaks like we wouldn't have brought that up if you didn't, you know?
Well, yeah. It's just all part of the recovery efforts. I'm with you, Lawrence. Like, we can just discuss the recovery plan openly here. I can tell you the other thing that was getting talked about at the ballpark.
There were a couple other things.
There were two. All right, so here's one. Your guy, Pete Crow Armstrong, with his 3 hits last night. And
after Nico and I talked him up. After me and my good buddy, Nico Horner, talked him up yesterday.
Yes.
How we were saying that he should probably just swing the bat instead of trying to bunt to get on base.
Well, you know what he did? That last hit, especially with the 2 men on, him going the other way, that was the talk today, was that's what Pete needs to do. Stop trying to rip the ball and hit it over the right field fence like you're a slugger. We know he's got some pop, but just stay calm. See the ball for a longer period of time at every at bat and go ahead and make contact the other way. And our guy Ron Coomer was pretty sure that that probably came right from John Maley, the assistant hitting coach, to go ahead and sit back on that, Pete, and in that seventh inning when he drove in the two extra runs. And that's the way he ought to hit for a couple of weeks. Just for a couple of weeks, just relax, let it go the other way, and let the rest of your game, you know, be your calling card. And if you get lucky and you're early on something and you do pull one, then good for you. But don't go out there trying to do that.
I think that him at the plate, if he's watching pitches get deeper in overall, he's just going to be a better hitter because he'll have better control of the strike zone. The thing is that you could see the danger with the two stolen bases last night. What happens when PCA gets on base? He makes pitchers uncomfortable. So to me, use all of it. Like it all should be a tool, but I'm glad that there are people that see it the way that I do, Spiegs, on swing the bat, young man, and let's figure out the rest as we go along.
Yeah, yeah. So there are certainly people who see it like that. And what's definitely clear is he doesn't really know how to bunt. He doesn't really know how to bunt very well. So learning up here, you might as well just try and hit it the other way. And if you hit it on the ground the other way, then so be it. Maybe you'll beat some of those out. But so maybe that'll be the approach coming, you know, moving forward. And the other thing that got talked about is just that these two teams are good. That both these teams are good. I was talking with some of the Rangers people, and some of the Rangers people are like, yeah, this team is good. That offense is real, man. There's a big time buy-in on the totality of the Cubs lineup, which is what we have been discussing for most of the year so far. Even though they lost today, and they've now lost a series finale, 3 out of 4 series, they've lost the series finale, which can leave kind of a bad taste in your mouth. That offense is real, and people around the league are buying on that.
Their offense, it didn't show today. They weren't diversified today because without Kyle Tucker or Dansby Swanson out there putting wood to it, there was a struggle for them to score runs. They got beat by a pitcher who was in charge of the strike zone today, and that's going to happen. It is weird because this was a more than successful homestand for the Cubs. I think that they started to create a little bit of an identity for themselves. Mm-hmm. And I think that if you want to, like, you can look and go, oh, okay, this is what's possible with this Cubs team. The unfortunate part is you go, man, you had two opportunities here to sweep. And you could have had a spotless homestand, and then you end up losing the games. I don't want to put this just on getaway day. But it did feel like after that 4 spot in the 5th that there were a lot of getaway day at bats that we saw from the Cubs.
Some quick innings, man. I think Tyler Malley's 6th when he should be tiring, and that should be like the vulnerable underbelly of a pitching staff, is 3rd time through the order on the starter, and maybe you get the 4th best reliever. Like, that ought to be your spot, where you ought to be trying to at least grind things out and make the dude work. That's a 5-pitch inning. 3 outs on 5 pitches for Tyler Malley. And he just comfortably comes back out and gets through 7 at 94 pitches. Yeah, it's you know, I'm all for being aggressive, as Tucker has been and as Say has been. But in moments like that and innings like that, try to make a dude work a little bit more.
You know what we missed with the two attorneys and the hot dog?
What's that?
Who got the hit? The next hit.
The burger.
Burger.
Oh, the burger. Yeah. Yeah, it's true. It's true.
That's why Burger Time is one of my favorite video games ever.
I don't know if I've ever played Burger Time.
It's up on the 33rd floor.
It is?
Yeah, you can play it up there, I believe.
Burger Time has some Dig Dug to it.
A little
right?
bit, yeah.
It's similar. Like, it's a dude just kind of moving around a big blank space, and he can shoot stuff, essentially.
Pepper. He uses pepper to quell the hot dogs that are chasing him and the egg that is chasing him as he is trying to complete his burgers.
Got you. Yeah, that theme is fun.
I don't know if that guy has a name. He got a name.
Jake. His name is Jake Burger.
Oh, well, that would be perfect.
Yeah. That's his name.
He's got a name. So I was driving in because I'm like, man, this game is going fast. I should probably get to the studio. I'm driving in, which is great because then it gives me an opportunity to listen a little bit. And every now and again, you don't just get a nugget, you get a good story. And I heard Pat waxing poetic about Harry Caray after the stretch. Like they did the video of Harry doing the stretch today. And Pat then went into great detail about why he loves listening to Harry Caray do the stretch and the memories that it conjures up for him.
I always enjoy watching the video of Harry Caray sing Take Me Out to the Ball Game.
Think he enjoyed doing that?
I know he did. He would do it in spring training, even on games when he wasn't broadcasting. He would come out to the park just to do that. As soon as the seventh inning was over, he'd go home.
He'd go, really?
Wow. Mm-hmm. One day there was a Beanie Babies promotion at the ballpark, and the Cubs were having a rough day. And at the end of his singing, he said, "The Cubs need to get some runs. Let's wake up those Beanie Babies." Just hearing him say Beanie Babies was funny. Swanson waiting. Here's the pitch on the way to Dansby. It's in for a strike. But Harry loved the game. There was no question about that run. We'd be on the road, and he was still traveling. For one thing, he was still traveling when he was in his early 80s.
Right.
And we'd be in a cab, and it would be late in the season, and he would get in the cab and say, "Hey, can you get the Pirates-Reds game on radio?"
Mm-hmm.
I mean, he was a fan. He wanted to know what was going on in other games. Yeah. Very sincere about his love for the game. And he would just make you laugh. The things he would do as he got late in life, he was doing the television, the post-game show on camera.
Mm-hmm.
And Arnie Harris, the legendary producer-director on Cubs TV for many, many years, he said, "Harry, you have to sit on the desk and turn around and face. The only camera we have available is the one in your booth." "Oh, okay, fine." He sits on the desk and sits on the cough button.
Oh, solid.
So you can't hear a word that he says for the five-minute post-game show on television. And he's laughing and saying who knows what. And in the truck, they're just going crazy, you know.
Yeah.
"Will you get him off the cough button? We can't hear him." Harry Caray, absolutely one of a kind.
How lucky are we, man? Lucky are we that we've got that guy?
That's awesome.
That he's able to tell those type of stories and share. And it's one, I think, honestly, they don't play Harry enough over at Wrigley.
Like, oh, man. You got to get the Loyola volleyball team out there when you can, dude.
Look, Loyola's volleyball team had a great season. They're not great singers.
How about DePaul, same
thing for DePaul's men's team. Well, actually, not the same. They did not have a great season, and they are also not great singers.
Yeah,
both groups did it with gusto, though.
Yeah, there was gusto. There certainly was gusto. Yeah, the Loyola volleyball team hustling through that last night. They had a little bit of Mike Ditka style, like singing as fast as they possibly can. And the organist, it's either John or Josh, I don't know who was working last night, trying to slow them down just a little bit.
Did you guys do the stretch as a show?
Never done the stretch.
It was you threw out the first pitch, right?
We threw out the first pitch. Danny famously threw with his horrific form. He threw a decent pitch. I was the umpire. And I called it a strike, a very generous strike zone. I was like Levon Hernandez out there. You know what I mean?
Eric Gregg.
Eric Gregg is like who I was.
No, you when were like Levon, Angel Hernandez.
When Levon Hernandez.
Levon Hernandez was pitching.
Do you think Shane even knows that reference?
Shane? He might have.
Shane, look up video of That's Levon old. Hernandez and Eric Gregg.
Yeah,
you are
going to
see.
Got it wrong, though.
You are going to see the strike zone of your nightmares.
Oh, man, it's amazing.
It's
the naked gun. It's Frank Drebin, yes. You know, just calling everything a strike. Strike.
Yeah, I'm looking at Shane's eyes right now, and he can't believe what he's seeing.
Oh, it's incredible. It's an all-timer. So I was like Eric Gregg out there.
Just keep going outside.
Like, no, just, Shane, don't click on the John McSherry video. Don't click on that one. It's a different one.
No.
I don't get that reference either.
No.
God.
Just keep... You just keep going outside with the pitches, and they're all strikes. All of them.
Danny is an assassin.
What? I just told him not to click on it. Oh, yeah. He finally found the Eric Gregg video. Here we go. It's so good.
There we go. It makes it so much better that Chipper Jones is in there, too.
Yeah. Absolutely.
Yeah.
Oh, my gosh.
One of baseball's most disciplined hitters is sitting there going, that's not a strike.
Hey, you know, did anybody see the Juan Soto at bat? I think it was last night. He took six pitches and struck out, and not one of them was in the zone. Not one of them. Like, he's so disciplined, but he took three called strikes that were, all three of them were outside the zone, just barely, but he never took the bat off his shoulder and struck out on six pitches.
A hitter who had more walks than strikeouts in his career.
Who, Chipper?
Yes.
That's a category right there.
All right, so at least Eric Gregg is being consistent here, because Maddux is getting him too.
Oh, yeah, he loved Maddux.
This is wild.
He loved Maddux. He let Maddux go out there another 2-3 feet if he needed to.
Soto, though, not my favorite AB of the night last night.
What was your favorite AB of the night?
I sent it to the thread. Your guy speaks.
Oh, boy.
Steen's guy.
Christopher Morrell.
Yeah.
Well, Morrell thought it was gone, but either way, he's tied the game and the go-ahead run now at 90 feet away.
Well, he thought he got it, thought it was a no-doubter. Throws his bat and everything. And then he realized he better get going.
Yeah, it was like a very aggressive bat toss after a five-step walk. And then, I guess I should run.
Yeah.
But, dude, they can't see the balls out there, Speaks. Because they're dropping fly balls, too. I don't think they can judge the distance.
Maybe. This is at the minor league field. This is at Steinbrenner Field there where the Rays are playing.
Something tells me that's not why Chris Morrell did that.
Yeah.
I think there's other stuff going on there.
Yeah.
And the dig me going, Speaks.
There's a lot of dig me going. By the way, on that play, I enjoyed Tim Anderson's throw, which was about 15 feet over the
catch. On the struggle bus.
These minor league ballparks, not good. It's just the general style of play. Salute is just not good.
There was 11 people in Sacramento yesterday.
There's a quote from Christopher Morrell on this after the game. He said, I've been battling since the first inning and the pitches, they were not in the zone, and I had that in my head.
He got tossed later in the game.
I was just trying to help the team, and I was trying to put the ball in play, and I should have done a little bit better. After I thought about it, what I did, it was surprising for me, too, because that's not who I am. That's not part of my character.
Oh, yeah.
What he's talking about there, he got tossed. I mean, I don't remember Morrell getting tossed here. Because he took two pitches for strikes that he didn't like, and then he swung and missed on a high fastball and brought the bat down, like swung the bat at the ground in an aggressive chop and got tossed right there. That was the end of his night. So he's probably talking about that as much as he is talking about not running. But you know what I kept thinking about was when Morrell looked back and Wilson Contreras was teaching him to breathe. Remember that?
Yes.
And how much Morrell and his frenetic energy needs that. And now you get traded and you're in Tampa Bay, and I don't know who his guys are.
He's off to a decent start. I mean, he's a 0.2 WAR right now. He's about even as far as OPS plus goes. So
likable young man.
Yeah, easy to root for. I hope that he figures it out, because there's a lot of talent in that body. He's just got to figure it out. Mm-hmm. And that's the hardest part sometimes. Yeah. Same thing with PCA. To come full circle, there's a lot of talent there. By the way, how do we feel about that ball to center? Should he have caught that ball?
In the messy fifth?
Or was that a yes? Or was that a, you know what, it's early in the season, don't run into the wall type deal? I know Dustin was all for him not catching that ball.
I'm sure he was. Dustin's the best. Here's why Dustin's the best. This morning I wake up and in my email inbox is a forward of the Victor Robles injury story from Dustin Rhodes. Saying,
See? See? He's trying to tell you. That's how you end up on the IL for 3 months.
Yeah, for 3 months, Victor Robles is going to be out. But, man, I don't know if that is – you know, looking at that PCA play, he's not usually afraid of that wall. So I kind of –
for I would love to see what people have to say about the route taken. I kind of thought his route was bad, but his route might have been bad because the wall is out there and there's no shrubbery to even break it, you know? Yeah. So I don't know. It just, it's like, oh man, because I saw him jump at the end. And I'm like, ooh, he missed that by a lot.
Look, there's something we gotta say, by the way, which is that there's some awful defense being played by good teams sometimes. Like last night's game, the Rangers in that inning where
they were a nightmare.
They threw to the wrong base. Their center fielder, Tavares, made a way worse play than the PCA one you're talking about. And then they cut off a throw that they shouldn't have cut off that let the fourth run score. And then in the top of the next inning, Marcus Semien is running down four runs. It's like there is some very stupid baseball that gets played by some good teams. That's a Bruce Bochy team last night that's playing like that. Maybe it's not a surprise that they came out and played a lot better, were more focused and hit better as well today.
Can I just say also, since you brought up Bruce Bochy, it hurts me to see him walk. When he has to go make a pitching change, I feel like we should put some sort of rule in where he doesn't have to leave the dugout. He can just do it.
His coat is too long. Have you noticed that?
They have some clothing issues on that coaching staff. Because
I agree.
Mike Maddox, you got to choose, homie. It's either the shiesty and the cap or a winter hat. It cannot be all three.
Well, the coat's too long right now, but he's about to start a spring shed, so it should thin out a little bit.
Lawrence, whiteboard shiesty for our listeners.
You know, when you wear the little hoodie underneath, it makes it look like you might want to rob somebody.
A ski mask.
Yeah.
I got you.
You can't go shiesty cap and I think then you're right. And then winter hat.
What's that about? Wearing the cap. Wearing the cap with the bill.
As I told you last night. Hood and Cap, favorite radio show of all time.
Better than Cap and Hood? I bet.
It's a different, completely different show.
I understand. I understand.
It's Cap with a C.
But the bill, like, is it a commitment to the bill? Does he want the bill of the cap? Or does he enjoy the feel of the fit of the hat underneath the winter hat?
I'm not going to accept it unless he's wearing the tetas cap that they had. That's the only way that I'm going to accept it.
Yeah, one more thing on Bruce Bochy's long coat. The coat is too long, and I don't think he's going to shed yet, Shane. I don't think it's going to happen just yet. But it looks like a mini skirt. That's the problem. Looks like Bruce Bochy is headed out there wearing like a Nancy Sinatra-style mini skirt. And he's a Hall of Fame manager to be who deserves to look better than that.
Those cleats are made for walking.
Yeah, exactly. When
we come back, we're going to talk with our buddy AJ Przinski. This thing in the Dominican Republic has been tragic with the loss of Octavio Dotel. And today we find out Pedro Martinez said that he's got a bunch of family members who are missing in that nightclub collapse. So we'll get stories about Octavio Dotel from AJ, and we'll talk a little baseball with him too next.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not so secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Aloe, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to Shopify.com/Odyssey Podcast to upgrade your selling today. Shopify.com/Odyssey Podcast.
It's no surprise that facial hair is personal. It grows from your face. Whether you're going smooth shaven or maintaining a beard, Dollar Shave Club offers shave and grooming products that are always high quality, but never overpriced. Visit DollarShaveClub.com and use promo code SHAVEUP for 20% off $20 or more.
Today's podcast is sponsored by Midi Health. At any given time, 61% of adult women say they want to lose weight. But for many, that's easier said than done. If you've had trouble losing weight, don't lose hope. Midi Health uses a deep understanding of women's hormones and a combination of weight loss medications to create a customized plan for each user. Midi Health can help you achieve more effective and sustainable weight loss by addressing hormone imbalances. Midi can also prescribe proven weight loss medications that help you experience reduced appetite and increased feelings of fullness. When paired with hormone optimization, you're not just managing your weight, you're also supporting your body's natural processes, which means you can overcome those weight loss plateaus that in the past have been so difficult to move beyond. So if you're ready to combine the power of hormones with the power of weight loss medications, visit joinmidi.com today. Discover how this innovative approach can lead you to lasting success. That's joinmidi.com.
Hey everyone, quick shout out to Whole Foods Market. You know I'm all about eating fresh and finding quality ingredients, and that's exactly what Whole Foods delivers. Whether you're grabbing organic produce, high quality meats, or just a quick healthy snack, they've got you covered. Plus, they're all about sustainability and supporting local farmers, which I love. Next time you're grocery shopping, check them out. You'll taste the difference. Spring is the perfect time to refresh your table, and Whole Foods Market has everything you need. Hosting brunch? Picture this. Flaky, buttery quiche, crispy bacon, fresh berries, and of course, cold-pressed orange juice to brighten up your morning. And if you're in the mood for something fizzy, check out their seasonal Italian sodas. Berry Blend and Orange Hibiscus are total must-tries. So whether you're planning a casual get-together or a full-on feast, Whole Foods Market has you covered. Make Whole Foods Market your destination for all spring gatherings.
I've been working with a nurse dietitian for the last 6 months, and it's been life-changing. I've lost weight, healed my relationship with food, and have way more energy. Working with a dietitian online to create a personalized nutrition plan was so easy thanks to Nourish. The best part? I pay $0 out of pocket because Nourish accepts hundreds of insurance plans. 94% of patients pay $0 out of pocket. Find your dietitian at usenourish.com. That's usenourish.com.
Score.
Spiegel and Holmes show flashback.
This place is sold out and amped up. U.S. Cellular.
Looks like Dotel and Thornton in the bullpen.
Oh, Dotel takes over.
The ball hit into left field. Quentin back. Yes, nice play. Nice read. Good jump. And that'll retire the side.
Octavio Dotel can run that fastball up there.
Tied for first for bullpen guys with 92 strikeouts. 12.48 strikeouts per nine innings, is second in the American League. So when he's on big time.
He's only allowing a batting average of .210 against him.
Bases loaded to 2-2. Right down the middle, strike three. He got him looking.
Side retired. Dotel and company do a good job pitching around the error.
And a pitch to Alexei. Swinging a fly ball, dropping fast. Right center field. Anderson dives. Sox win. Great play by Anderson. Wow, what a game, Stephen.
And the Chicago White Sox are the American League Central champion.
I don't know how I'm doing right now. You know, we lost yesterday. One couple friends, one in the music business, and Octavio Dotel. He's been pretty sad. Besides, he was my player. I never go out with that many players. I never keep contact with them. The reason I keep contact with Dotel because we both like to smoke cigars, and we talk about it, my wife. I mean, obviously, we don't see each other because he lives in Dominican Republic, but we keep contact. It was kind of hard to believe we in this life. Hey, it's not an easy one, but we got to live it the best way we can.
Spiegel and Holmes, afternoons on the Score.
Last night in the Dominican Republic, there was a tragic collapse of a roof in a nightclub. There are almost 80 people who have died. There are hundreds who have been injured. Pedro Martinez has said publicly that he has family members who are missing, and he's worried about them. And we know that one of the deceased is Octavio Dotel, who a lot of people were talking about, you know, pitch for the Cardinals, pitch for the Yankees, and pitch for the White Sox in a very important role. So we thought that we would invite someone who knew Octavio well on. It's our buddy AJ Pierzynski, who joins us on the Circa Sports Illinois hotline. Download the Circa app today. AJ, I imagine, like anyone, when you are faced with a tragic event like this, the first thing is shock. When you think about Octavio Dotel, what comes to mind?
Fun. Just fun. I mean, legitimately just funny, smiling, always having fun. Never, like, seemed worried about anything that happened. I mean, this guy could go out there with a one-run lead and blow it in the eighth inning and just be laughing about it. It was amazing. He had a great perspective on life. He was all about fun. He loved music. He loved dancing. We heard Ozzy talking. He loved his cigars. He was just a fun person to be around. And I knew Octavio. I think I first met him in 1997 or 1998. He was just a special person, man. I mean, I remember 1998, we're in AA, he pitches opening day. I think we beat him, and he's like, "I'm the Pedro Martinez of the Eastern League." And we're like, "What are you talking about?" And he went on to have a pretty good career, really great career. One of a great teammate, though. Fun, like I said, just fun. I mean, the smile was electric. He was just an awesome guy, man.
He was on 13 teams, AJ, and sometimes, like, dudes who bounce around like that are guys who are so talented, but nobody really wants to have them around, you know? That wasn't the case with him, right? He was good.
No.
He was good.
Oh,
and, like, everybody wanted him. Yeah.
Yeah, he was good. And once you got to know Dotel, that was what I'm saying. He brought a smile to people's face. There were times where he would do something kind of crazy, and you're like, "Well, that was really dumb." And then he'd say something, and you just laugh. He'd be like, "Okay, that makes up for him doing whatever it was that he just did dumb." So, it was hilarious. It was always a pleasure to be around him. It was always a party with Dotel. Between the music, like I said, the dancing, the smile. It's just tragic, tragic news.
It's been a weird couple of weeks because, you know, we've gotten all the information about what's going on with Bobby Jenks too. And then you have something like this happen. Just how are you doing, AJ? Like, I know that, like, this isn't easy for you to even come and talk to us about all of this stuff.
Yeah, it's life, right? I mean, Jerry Reinsdorf always told me he's at the age where he goes to more funerals than he does weddings or births, right? Birthdays. So it's sad, man. As you start aging, your friends start slowly but surely, you know, not this soon like with Dotel, but they, you know, you get these notices of guys being sick or guys having problems, and it sucks, man. It really does suck. It's one of the hard parts of aging and getting older. We all think when you play a sport for a living, you think you're 25 for the rest of your life. And when you're not, and the real reality of life starts hitting you, it's tough. But, you know, hopefully Bobby gets through it. Obviously with Octavio, man, I mean, just, I can't express how awful of news. When I first found out, I was like, "Wait, what? What are we talking about here?" Because I hadn't heard about the collapse. And then when the rumors started coming in, it was like, "This can't be true." And then the people, and you know, you pray for Dotel and his family, but for just all the people that have lost their lives, and the people that are still, you know, they're still searching for people.
Yeah.
So you just pray they get out alive.
Yeah. Talking with AJ Pruszynski here on Spiegel and Holmes, and thinking about you guys, that those 2008 team and the 2009 team. Those White Sox teams with Dotel, and you mentioned Paul Konerko. It's like, it's an interesting mix of people. Baseball clubhouses at their best are an eclectic mix of, like, a multicultural hodgepodge, right? Who were the connectors? Like, Dotel spoke enough English that he could be one of the connectors? Like, you need certain guys to kind of bring cultures together and bring the room together. Was he one of those guys? And who else were those guys on those teams?
I mean, listen, we had Dotel and Uribe on the same team. So, I mean, just imagine that locker room, right? Dotel, Uribe, Swisher was on that team, right? I mean, it was, as you said, Orlando Cabrera. It was a hodgepodge. Jim Tomey, Jermaine Dye on that 08 team. It was like, yeah, hodgepodge, whatever you want to call it, a mismatch, whatever it is, of just personalities. But it was so fun. It was just such a fun group of guys. The story is Swish one time called Dotel and Uribe up to the front of the bus and said, "Hey, we're going to play name your teammate." And they got about three guys right, the first and last name. It was great. But they had a great time with it. They laughed about it and didn't miss a beat. I mean, you know, you have Uribe and Dotel up there, and you know, they knew Bailey. They didn't know Mark's first name. So, you know, and I was A-hole. And, you know, Captain Konerko was Capitan. You know, it was just fun. You know, Quentin, they didn't know. They just were like Quentin. But they couldn't name first and last names. But it was just them, though. That was what was so awesome about it. They laughed about it, and we laughed about it, and it was nothing personal. It was just hilarious. And they loved every minute of it.
Now, man, I'm sitting there going, I can't imagine someone then trying to think of how to say your last name.
That's why they just called me A-hole. It was great.
Yeah, that's it. That was the only reason.
Uribe was like, hey, that's all. They didn't even try with the last name.
I mean, but that's a beautiful thing, isn't it, about a clubhouse? Like, you might not hang out, you know, growing up, you might not picture yourself hanging out with all this mix of people and this mix of cultures. But in a clubhouse, it's all love and everybody working together. That's an amazing thing about the game, isn't it?
It's one of the best parts. And as a former player, it's one of the things you miss the most is being able to spend time with these guys, hang out with them in the clubhouse and get to know them on a personal level. I mean, Dotel was driving a Lamborghini around Chicago. We're like, Dotel, do you even have a driver's license? You know, he's like, in Dominican. And we're like, does that translate? And he's like, you know, I can get from downtown to the field. So, I mean, it was just that's one of the when people say, do you miss playing? No, but you miss hanging out with the guys and having fun and being able to talk to people from different places and cultures and not only getting to know them, but, you know, learning how they tick is the most fun.
What do you think that did for you?
What do you mean?
Like having a bunch of different people in a clubhouse, like what do you think it did for you? Like how it shaped you or changed you?
Oh, it opens your eyes to a lot. I mean, especially when you're younger I remember when I first signed, I was 17 years old. I go into a clubhouse in Fort Myers with the Twins and I'm looking around, there's half the team doesn't speak English. And I'm like, okay, this is going to be an interesting summer. Right. And then you start talking to these guys and you learn that, you know, we all come from different places. We're all people. We all care about one thing, especially in that clubhouse. And that's playing baseball, trying to win and get to the next level. And then when you get to the big leagues, it's the same thing. I mean, people come. I've had Japanese, Venezuelan, right. Curacao, Dominican, Puerto Rico, you name it. You have Canadians, you have everybody, and everyone just comes together for a common goal. But you also get to know that these people come from different places. And when you hear some of the stories, it's amazing that they made it to where they made it. I mean, just because of their background, and it's great because then you become friends with these guys, you become lifelong friends with these guys and from different places. And, you know, if I picked up the phone, if he was still here, Octavio Dotel, and I called him, he would answer and we'd have a great laugh and we'd talk about old times and he would have a smile on his face and we would move on from that. But it's just an incredible bond you build with guys that you literally bleed, sweat and cry with these guys and smile and just you learn so much about life.
Man, AJ, that's the best stuff about sports right there. It's so awesome to hear you talk about it. And frankly, even as sports fans, the ability for us to like start conversations with absolutely anybody about a ball game we probably both just watched or we both were at, like that's the best stuff that sports can do is bring people together, isn't it? That's like top of the heap what it does.
Isn't that what sports are for, a distraction? Isn't that what sports are for, is a distraction from life and from every day? And then when you're you know, when you're in it and you get the fortunate enough to play it, right? And it becomes a job, but you always have to try to remember, you know, this is a distraction for the 30,000 people that are watching you and the people watching you on television. It's something to get away from their everyday life and they pay their hard earned money to come watch you. So you try to put on a show for them. And that's what I think sports are meant for is, yes, it means a lot to people. Yes, it's everyday life, but at the same time, it's a distraction for most people from their 9-to-5 job they have.
AJ Pruszynski joining us here. You can check him out on Foul Territory. He's awesome. Pretty much everything he does, he's awesome at. I noticed that you are wearing your Florida Gators cap today, AJ.
I don't know why I would do that. I don't know. I'm not sure why I would do that. But something happened I was at a game on Monday night, and I thought there was a trophy or something handed out. I'm not sure.
Wait, you
were
went?
At the game? You went?
Of course I was at the game. Think I'm going to miss that?
I love it.
Oh, man. So did you see Jim Nance? That'd be a really good like media fight of alumnus.
I did not. I did not see Jim Nance, but I'm sure he was probably not dry-eyed after that ending, especially when they didn't get a shot off. But I was jumping up and down going crazy, so I had a great time. Yeah, I was saying, hello, friends. Florida wins again.
Who'd you see? Was there other Florida alums or Florida pals that you're hanging with?
I didn't really, because I was kind of all the Florida people that I knew were on across the court from me. I don't know if you've ever been to Alamo Dome for a game, but it was weird because we weren't that far up, probably 25 rows up from the court, and it looked like we were 7 miles away because it's like super flat, right? It's not, it doesn't go up, it just goes out. So, and all my Florida people that I knew were on the other side of the court, so it would have taken me 2 hours to walk around and talk to them.
What's it like for you to be in some of these spaces where as a fan, you get to emote. Well, look, you were an emotive player, but now, like, you're going, whether you're going to a basketball game, I'm sure there's probably WrestleMania stuff. Like, how do you, what do you think of that part of your life now that you get to share it as a fan?
I mean, I get excited, sometimes overly excited, I think, depending on who you ask. And, you know, I've actually grown up as a fan. I used to get super mad at losses, and now I've kind of just learned to accept them. But yeah, sometimes I get excited. I try to keep it in check, but there are times where I just got to let it eat. And, you know, in a moment like that, when they win a national championship, it's a fun time. And, it's hard. I mean, I get to watch my kids play sports very competitively, and it's so hard to just sit there and act like it doesn't bother you. Cause deep down, I mean, it eats at you.
AJ's doing great work over at Foul Territory, and Kenny Rosenthal swinging by and doing the stuff that he does with Foul Territory and Fair Territory. And I watched the clip of Kenny saying to you that the Vlad Guerrero Jr. signing is good news for Kyle Tucker and bad news for the Chicago Cubs. What was your reaction when he said that to you on Foul Territory?
I wasn't surprised. Listen, Kyle Tucker's playing it out. Now, Vlad Guerrero wanted to stay there, and I said this on there too, that he played the Blue Jays perfectly. He wanted 14 years, $500 million. Guess what he got? 14 years, $500 million. He put the pressure on them. The difference is I don't think the Ricketts family and the Cubs are going to bow down to it. And if I'm Kyle Tucker at this point, I just play it out. I'm so close now. I know Vlad was only 1 year away, but he wanted to stay there. Kyle Tucker's only been with the Cubs for, 3 months now? So he doesn't know that much. Vlad was raised by the Blue Jays. Came up with them. He was born in Canada, so it meant more to him to stay there. Where Kyle Tucker's like, dude, I was, if it was the Astros, it'd be a different story. But he's like, I got traded to the Cubs. I don't know these guys that well, so he's going to test free agency and get paid.
Yeah, I think you're probably right. I mean, the Blue Jays thing that they put out today included like the Vlad Jr. picture of him as a little kid in Montreal when his dad was playing there, in Toronto when his dad was playing there. It's like, I mean, the lineage is such. Do you think the Cubs have the stomach to go above $500 million? Because Kyle Tucker's a better player than Vlad Guerrero Jr. He's a more valuable player.
You tell me. You're the Cub fan. I'm not a Cub fan. I know the White Sox wouldn't do it, so you tell me.
I hope so, man. I hope so. Like, if there's anybody that you're going to pay, this is the guy. This is with that skill set, you would think this is the guy. So it's time.
You would think. We'll see. We'll see if they open up them pocketbooks and wallets and put some money in them. It's not like they're gonna be decent. They should win the Central this year again. So there's gonna be more money in their pocket when they get to the postseason. They should. We'll see if they do, though. But if not the Cubs, then who? It's the real question.
AJ, what did you think of the Cena heel turn?
I loved it. Are you kidding me? I've done that turn before. I did that when I first wrestled. I was the face, and then I went to the heel. It was so much more fun being the heel. You can say whatever you want as a heel, and people love it. It doesn't matter what you say. You can just call people names. I mean, I was calling Rick and David Eckstein and all kinds of names out there, and people are going crazy. It's so much more fun to be the bad guy. Trust me.
I like this, too, with him because – he has been a face for so long. The fact that he can now kind of let it eat a little bit on the microphone and with his deeds, I think it's great. It sets Cody up really, really well.
Agreed. And it's going to be a great – was WrestleMania this weekend? Is it this
next weekend?
Next weekend, sorry. So, listen, they've set this thing up perfectly. I want to see how they end it because, you know, at some point Cena's got to get the belt, right, to tie Flair, right? That's the whole thing, or pass Flair, whatever it is, for the most of all time. So they've got to figure out a way to do it. I don't know if they'll do it at Mania, but they've got to figure out a way to make it happen just so that they can say, you know, their WWE guy is the lifer at WWE, has the most championships of all time.
Were you aware, AJ, that Jerry Reinsdorf absolutely adores David Eckstein as a player? Did you know that's his favorite player?
I thought it was someone else, but if you say that,
we've actually got tape of it, AJ, and it's strange considering, you know, you played for him, Paul Konerko played for him, Frank Thomas played for him, but yeah, this is Jerry talking about why he loves David Eckstein.
Well, what I like is players are being taught how to play baseball. How to play baseball. You know, one of my favorite players over the last 10 or 20 years was David Eckstein. David Eckstein couldn't run. He couldn't hit. He couldn't throw. He couldn't field. There's only one thing that he ever did, and that was beat you.
So that's the context. He loved David Eckstein. Your thoughts?
AJ. Maybe that's why he didn't sign me back after 2012, because he saw me rip up his children's book once in the ring. I don't know.
Maybe that's what it was.
Your heel turn on David Eckstein, that was the problem with the White Sox relationship.
It's
that makes
crazy.
Sense.
Next time when I see him, I'm going to ask him about that.
You should. You 100% should. AJ, we appreciate you, man. Thanks so much.
Yeah, Hold on. Before we go, two things. One, I want to talk about City Cruise that I'm doing with Hornblower City Cruises. Me and Ozzy, you guys have Ozzy on all the time. Jermaine, yeah. Creedy Pods. Three chances to sit down with us. It's a buffet dinner, open bar. So it'll be a good time. Make sure you guys come out. And second of all, when we talk about the White Sox, their new City Connects, if those are the real City Connects, I mean, that's the most unimaginative thing I've ever seen in my life. They took the Bulls White Sox combo giveaway thing, and they made that into something they can sell. I'm like, this is the best we could come up with. They went from the best City Connect to the first one to these that are like, they just seem like they were like, okay, we'll just take the Bulls logo and put it on a White Sox jersey.
I said it yesterday during transition that I hate it. Like, if this is what it is, it's very lazy.
And they're so good at merch. They're usually so good at merch.
I agree.
So this is a misstep if that's the case.
It's really bad. Thanks, AJ. We appreciate you.
Thanks, guys. Prayers to the people in the Dominican.
Yeah,
100%.
That's a real deal.
I don't know if you've seen the video of it. It's terrifying because there's a band that's on stage, and you could see people kind of reacting to like a piece of the ceiling falling, and there are people who are walking away from the dance floor as it happens, and then it's just darkness. Like the rest of the roof collapses, and AJ's right. They're working around the clock, like doing the excavation, trying to make sure that if there are people that are still alive underneath all of that rubble, that they get to them and get them to a hospital as quickly as possible. It's terrifying.
Yeah, it is terrifying video. And it's such a vibrant and exuberant people, man. Having been down there a couple times, and my brother goes down a lot and has some good friends down there now. And it's just like, and you know it from the baseball players you've observed and their team and the WBC. It's just everybody down there is a really, really lovely, kind, welcoming, and exuberant people. And to see that is really, really sad. You see Nelson Cruz's sister named Nelsie Cruz, who was a politician of sorts, was one of the ones who was dead down there as well.
I did not see that.
Yeah, so there's Tony Blanco, another former player, Tony Blanco, and as you mentioned up top, Pedro Martinez, concerned for members of his family that were involved in that. So a brutal disaster.
Yeah, 100%. Thanks, AJ. I love that. I love AJ talking about connecting with people. Because, you know, AJ wasn't always the easiest person to connect with.
Well, and think about AJ growing up in Florida. You know, it's like it's... Depending on, and some of these guys, like, and you see it today. You see it in all these locker rooms today. It's one of the beautiful things. And for him to appreciate it like he does and to miss that about the camaraderie of the game, like, you know, hanging out with people and just connecting. Yeah, I thought that was beautiful stuff.
It was really cool. I don't know if you saw, Spiegs, I posted on Twitter last night, one of my first score memories. I was a part-timer back in 2008. You guys know Jesse Rogers. Our listening audience certainly knows him from national ESPN baseball reporting. He's up the dial, too. But he started here at the Score, Jesse did. He was a great reporter for us. And
he's a great guest booker, maybe the best guest booker of all time at the Score.
Don't upset Shane. Don't upset Shane.
It's too late.
I'm not going to disagree with that.
No, sure, but he used to look people's names up and call
just,
them
just call the hotel
yeah. But go ahead,
but so anyway, so 2008, you know, we at nighttime, Lawrence, you remember, like, you would alternate shows, like during football you do shows with Doug,
yeah,
but then we had baseball shows that would be on during baseball season, and the
night
before,
John Cangelosi,
yeah, exactly. Jesse was hosting one night, and he brings in an in-studio guest. It's the night before Cubs Sox, and it's Octavio Dotel. And he came in with a bottle of red wine, crushed the bottle while he was on air with Jesse, and could not have been cooler. And he spent like an hour with us that night. And I was like, I was young in the business. I was like, oh, this is just how it is. These are all big leaguers are like this, and they just come in studio here, and they'll do the show with us. Yeah, this is great. I've definitely made the right career choice.
You're like, I love working at the Score.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. So I would just think, I wish I would have had a picture. We didn't even podcast shows back then, I don't think. So there's no real record of it that I could find. But that was just a really cool experience. And he was just a really fun guy. And everything that you heard AJ say and everyone else say. Oh, when all the teammates come out and talk about how much they love the guy, like, yeah, he was a walking vibe. And he was a hell of a pitcher in 2008, man.
That's such a great story. I love that. Him hanging out all night for an hour. That's amazing.
That's a beautiful eulogy, Tanny. Like, for real. That's the way it should be. That's how people should be remembered. When we come back, something that we talked about yesterday, if you need some validation, Mr. Spiegel, I think an NFL reporter provided it for you.
I think so.
We'll share it and talk about it next here on The Score.
I think us growing together is key. Starting now, him pushing me, key. I know that, and he knows that. Him pushing me.
Caleb Williams talking about new Bears head coach Ben Johnson. It's the Spiegel and Holmes show, by the way. Thanks so much for hanging out with us. Something magical happened during the break, boys. I texted it to Speaks.
It's amazing. It really is. It speaks to the karmic nature of life and candy, I think.
So yesterday Speaks was like being really weird and a little secretive. He's like, because he knows at about 4 o'clock, I get a treat. Yeah, usually it's like a little thing of Lorna Dunes or something, but usually around 4 o'clock, a little sugar rush.
Yeah, peanut butter M&Ms, maybe.
Yeah, peanut butter M&Ms are big on my list. Like, that sort of thing.
See what's here today? This is not your donut company that you support.
Stan's Donuts. I saw there was a box of Stan's that's in the back of the control room today.
But Shane and Tanny have seen this. 4 o'clock is Lawrence's treat time, or else he shuts down around 4:20. We can't have that.
And then usually during breaks, I go walk around the station. I get extra steps in. So yesterday, Speaks was like, I got something for you. I'm like, is it another box? Did he get a box of duds this time that has 5 in them? Because that's what I kept thinking. He's like, I got something for you.
I had a candy bar, and I knew you wouldn't have guessed what it was, but I know your flavor profiles now because we've been working together for a while. We got a thing. So I knew that you would enjoy the Heath bar that I had brought in. And you did. We split the Heath bar at 4 o'clock.
I took too much of your Heath bar. I feel bad about that because you were like, just break it in half.
Yeah. Well, this is where the magic comes in. I got to admit, when you broke half of the Heath bar off, I was like, that's kind of a lot.
My hands are very strong.
I was ready to have more of my candy bar that I brought in than that. But that's okay. I figured, if you love something, set it free. You know what I mean? So I love the Heath bar. I set half of it free to you. And then what happens today?
So during the break, Tanny had to call me back so I could do my circa read. But I go for my little walkabout, and I went over to BBM because I just like to know they have a whole area where there are just treats.
Yeah, you just like to know.
And you just like to know, like, what do they got in there today? And yesterday, they were making fun of me. Lisa Fielding was like, we're down to just the hard candies now because no one likes all of those, so they're just stuck in here. So I go back today. They got a nice little spread going on. They got the lemon Oreos, which are some of my favorites.
They're big in the Oreos over there.
And then I said, well, let me see if there's a chocolate bar in there of some sort. And lo and behold, out of freaking nowhere, there is a fun size Heath bar.
Man.
And I had snatched it. And I was like, Speegs is going to get retribution.
It's just, there's a life lesson. There's a life lesson in there. If you have some Heath bar, give it away because it will come back to you. It is the karmic circle. It's the circle of life.
Circle of candy life.
The circle of life. Sing it, Elton. Yeah, man. The Heath bar is coming back to me, and it's a lesson for all of us. That's for sure.
Robbie Triano said in the chat that I should just go ahead and eat it now. And I'm like, no, this is for Speegs. This right here, there are plenty of fun size candy bars that have often been in that tray of candy. I'm not surprised to see a Milky Way in there, Three Musketeer, a Snickers bar.
And here's the controversy. Listen, we love fun, right?
We do. I am used to that. I have never in my life, a crackle, a Mr. Goodbar occasionally.
Sure.
I have never in my life seen a fun size Heath bar.
It was time. It was time for you to be exposed to that. And look, Lawrence, if you want it, if you need it for yourself, okay.
I'm good. We only got 20 minutes of show left, but I am leaving this for you so that when you walk in tomorrow, you have it.
Oh, that's exciting.
Because I think that's what the universe wants, is that it wants you to get back what you lost yesterday.
Yeah, that's really nice. I mean, the sun may eventually explode, killing all life as we know it, but at least I got a Heath bar coming back to me.
Well, that's not the only thing that you should be excited about. You also got a little bit of validation.
Well, look, it doesn't take a genius to realize that when Ben Johnson is talking about get ready to be uncomfortable at his introductory press conference, that one of the guys he's thinking about is Caleb Williams. And out last year, the Bears made Caleb Williams very comfortable, and the whole process didn't work quite as well as it could. And Ben is going to make him uncomfortable. And we know that. And I loved hearing yesterday about the quiz that Caleb was getting on day one. And we talked quite a bit about it and had a good conversation. But then, yes, I saw this today, Ian Rappaport, with some of his sourced reportings about what Ben Johnson and Caleb Williams are going to have this year together.
Caleb Williams said all the right things, and I think he has and will continue to do so. He wants Ben Johnson to challenge him, wants his offensive coaching staff to challenge him. It's going to be really hard. And I know he's ready. I know he thinks he's ready. Mm-hmm. But I don't know if he truly understands what it's going to be like just to go from good. And Caleb Williams was good last year, certainly had his moments, kept the ball out of the hands of the opponents, kind of kept some drives moving, probably took too many sacks, got a little too beat up. So there was certainly some good there. But to be great, to be one of the actual greats, which his talent should allow him to do, Kyle, it is going to be really miserable. And Ben Johnson has been incredibly successful in Detroit. Is he the most pleasant person to be around during the season? I don't think he is. Mm-hmm. It's going to be hard. And I don't even know if right now Caleb Williams understands, but like on a Monday night in November, it's going to suck.
Okay.
And if you want to be great, it has to suck. And so, yeah, like it's all smiles now. He's out there. He's looking cool. It's a lot of positivity. To get where they need to go, he has to embrace being absolutely and utterly miserable.
For Ian Rappaport to go that hard on something, I was taken aback by that.
Man.
He because this is not, he doesn't, like, Ian doesn't like throw stuff out there. You know what I mean? Like, he's very measured when he's doing his reporting. If he's telling you that it's very possible that Ben is going to be problematic once the season gets underway, I would say you should listen to that. And I mean that in the best possible way, that he is going to strive for perfection, that he is going to push people, that you better get comfortable being uncomfortable.
Hey, man, I this dynamic really fascinates me, obviously. And it kind of always has. But it goes with some things I heard about from other franchises and other quarterback relationships. There's a good cop and there's often a bad cop.
Or a black cop.
Or a black cop. And I think that's what you and I do. We do good cop, black cop.
Yep.
That's how we roll. But, you know, the thing is that Ben Johnson, he was kind of the good cop with Jared Goff. Like, they had a really good relationship. I think he did push him and did drive him a lot. But remember, Ben Johnson was the tight ends coach, and they bonded when he was the tight ends coach, and then he took over. And there's some great stories out there that we can get into in the coming weeks about their relationship. I dug up some stuff as I was thinking about this today. And we have so little show left, as you say, I'm going to hold on to some of them because they're really interesting about Ben Johnson and Jared Goff and how it formed. Because it's going to be different because he was the tight ends coach and then the OC. Now he's the head coach. Mm-hmm. He's got a lot more to do. The distractions will be larger. The ability to give attention will be smaller, you know? So I think there is going to be a firmness about, I know what you need to learn, and this is it. You need some grace. You need some love. go find it from JT Barrett. Like, that's my gut on how it's going to work. But I don't know, because Ben has a lot of different, you know, parts of his personality, but we know he can be feisty and direct. And as the head coach, I don't think the attention span to give Caleb like the warm, graceful love is going to be there in the same way as it was sometimes for Jared Goff.
It's an interesting dynamic too, because if this were, let's say it's Mike Tomlin, okay, just for poops and giggles. If it's Mike Tomlin, he could theoretically, depending on who his OC was, be the good cop instead of the black cop. He could be that because, like, you'd be like, well, he can be like, look, this is just the way it is, and here are the things that are going to help you, blah, blah, blah.
But when
you're a new head coach and you're dealing with the quarterback position and your purview is offense – I don't think that there's any – I don't think that he can turn that over to, like, Antoine Randall. You know what I mean?
Yes.
I don't think that he can turn that over to JT Barrett. I think that he is forced to be the bad cop.
I think that's true. I think that's true. And it probably is the best way to get across his vision, hence the segment name, because that's the vision you want to get across. Like, you're the one defining it. You're the one defining it. So you've got to do it. Yeah, it's going to be really interesting. And I look forward to it. I think Caleb is up for it. And I think there's going to be times, like, we already saw it with Thomas Brown. We saw Caleb and Thomas Brown. We saw that moment down the stretch of the season where Caleb walked right by him and Thomas Brown kind of grabbed him and brought him back. And there was that, healthy friction, you know, which is, you know, so there's going to be times where we're going to look and be like, oh boy, trouble in paradise, yada, yada. No, it's going to be direct communication that might be a little feisty every once in a while. And that's going to be fine. That will need to happen.
It might lead to there being growth.
Yes.
And that's the hope, is that, and maybe you don't need it. Maybe Caleb picks everything up and everything is smooth and they have this partnership. Now, it's unlikely that that's the way that it goes, but maybe it does. And he doesn't have to. But hearing Ian be like, yeah, man, there are going to be some days.
Miserable.
For Caleb, where he better get ready. And he better be all right with it. So
I'll hold on to some of that stuff. Maybe I'll bring it back tomorrow. This is one of my 23-hour teases. Maybe in the 4 o'clock hour tomorrow, we'll get to some of the early Goff and Ben Johnson stuff that's been intriguing me.
Okay, I like that. There's all sorts of stuff for us to do on tomorrow's show, too, by the way. There's a lot of football stuff, strangely enough, out there for us to get into. But when we come back, someone gave our industry a compliment. Shocking. We'll share who next on The Score.
Man, you're lucky you're playing Wrigley Field, buddy, because that's something to see here when you come to Chicago. A lot of people love to come to Chicago. Congratulations. Keep going. I hope you guys have a great season. Good luck, brother.
Thank you, Ozzy.
Thanks, Ozzy.
Thanks,
good to
Ozzy.
See you.
Appreciate
Ozzy Jr. in the house as well. I got to give Ozzy a hug.
While she's doing that, giving the hug, Ian, you celebrated that 1,000th game quite spectacular fashion with that crazy catch.
Ozzy Guillen was here in the studio yesterday recording a couple commercials. So, you know, he saw Layla and was like, oh, I'm going to go be on the show because they're homies from way back. And he was on with Mully and Haw today, Speaks. I did not know this, and I'm excited to hear this. Ozzy has a lot of respect for what it is we do.
I was there with Mitch. I got to do something with you guys. And you guys want us, you guys already gone. To me, it'd be my honor spending money with you guys because I will learn about baseball. I will learn how to. I will learn. A real good TV, radio people does the job every day. Something is not easy for that many years. I just talked with Ozzy Jr. yesterday when we jumped in the car. I said, bro, how are those guys prepare themselves every day, put up with fans like me, listen to them every day? It's not easy. To me, it's easy to go manage every day because everything is going to be different. But it's just like every day they got to wake up early, go to work, and you have people criticize you. You got people agree with you. You got people that think they're smarter than you. This is just crazy, man. I tip my hat to you guys because working on that day in and day out is not easy. Right now, my wife and family is so scared about you say something, people going, you know, people are so sensitive right now. People, and they're right. You know, they're right.
Well, they're right.
That's why I tip my hat to you guys because, golly, we're living life right now.
Well, thank you, Ozzy.
That's amazing. That's so cool. Well, that's a dude who has found an entire extra sports life here. Post-managing career, has had a good long media career. It's got no sign of slowing down right
He's
now.
He's must-watch television.
Don't say anything stupid, Ozzy. Don't do it. Your wife is right. Be careful
He's
out there,
He's must-watch television every night. It doesn't matter whether the White Sox are good or not. The chemistry that he has with Chuck, what they do on that show, what they've done on that show for years.
Yeah, just for clarity, the White Sox are not good.
They're not, and we'll have some time for them tomorrow too. Mm. They're making some very interesting choices. I was glad to see Mully go hard today on the Clevenger thing because it really doesn't make any sense.
Well, it's not somebody they can trade. You know, so it's not somebody anybody's gonna want. So why are you bothering? You know?
Yeah, it makes you wonder why they're bothering.
Yeah, they could have done some sign and flip things if, you know, overpaid maybe for a reliever and then have that to flip.
Yeah.
You know, there were things they could have done, but they did not.
Yep. They decided to go a different way. This was fun. Thanks to everyone who joined us for today's show. We know it was a little bit truncated. We hope that you got something out of it. We had a good time.
Yeah, we did. And we're going to do it again tomorrow. We got all kinds of stuff left on the cutting room floor that we need to get to. I'm looking forward to it.
By the way, Best Of is coming up. And Shane says that the Matthew Boyd interview is going to be a part of it. If you missed the Matthew Boyd interview, don't go anywhere. It will be good to cleanse your sports soul. That's how I would promote it.
Yep.
So stick around so you can hear that, and then we'll have Bulls basketball. Thanks to Tanny and Shane for their hard work. For my partner, Matt Spiegel, I'm Lawrence Holmes saying thank you so much for all the love and support you show us. We will try to repay the favor tomorrow at 2 o'clock on Spiegel and Holmes here on The Score.
That's it. All right, guys. Didn't mean to bother.
Baseball's all about the games, and the best in daily gaming is on the MLB app, where every day starts with new puzzles and challenges. Test your skills with MLB Pickle, the ultimate mystery player challenge, and Immaculate Grid, where stats and strategy collide, or chase the $5.6 million jackpot and beat the streak, presented by BetMGM. And for an all-new spin on fantasy sports, there's Spinball. The game's official home for games is on the MLB app. MLB trademarks used with permission. No purchase necessary. Restrictions apply. For official rules, go to MLB.com/play/official rules.
One night, one goal. Stop suicide. On June 21st, New York City will host the American Foundation for Suicide Prevention's milestone 30th Out of the Darkness Overnight Walk. Over the last 20 years, people have described the overnight as one of the most powerful experiences of their lives. Now is the perfect time to join us as people from all over the country come together to stop suicide. Walk over 16 miles from dusk till dawn to raise much-needed funds for this important cause. You'll form lasting friendships, experience healing and love, and bring hope to those affected by suicide. Be a part of this life-changing event. The American Foundation for Suicide Prevention's Out of the Darkness Overnight Walk. June 21st. Register now at theovernight.org or call 888-THE-OVERNIGHT. That's 888-843-6837.
Hi, everybody. It's Brian Greene from the Commercial Break Podcast. It's likely you've heard of the show if you're directly related to me or you follow our MySpace page. But I'm not here to talk to those three listeners. I'm here to appeal to people who haven't heard the show. Along with my co-host, Kristen Joy Hoadley, we're taking a deeper look at the topics that are affecting our youth today. Like, who are the people who are dating ghosts? Where did all these pickup artists come from? And why doesn't my preacher have a nicer private jet? We understand that these are the issues you really want to get to the bottom of. The Commercial Break is now available on the Odyssey app or wherever you find your podcasts.